Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. As always, the CF Rundown is brought to you by our friends at Heartland Flags. Jared Stansberry and Rob Gray up in Ames at the Jacobson Building. Matt Campbell's weekly press conference just got over. Now, what, 5 days out from the Oklahoma Sooners coming to town, number five team in the country. And you know, I think probably the biggest storyline continues to be the question of whether or not Kyle Kemp will be the starting quarterback for the Cyclones on Saturday. As of now, that remains up in the air, according to Coach Campbell, and I think even according to some of the stuff Zeb Noland was saying. So it'll be a kind of a wait and see deal on that, and we'll probably know when they take the field on Saturday who the starting quarterback will be.
Yeah, I don't think we'll know anytime sooner. Obviously, Kyle Kemp looked like he was walking very gingerly off the field at Kinnick Stadium after Saturday's loss, 13-3 to Iowa. But again, you know, how much the good news is, Campbell said it doesn't appear to be a real, you know, lengthy injury. You know, maybe, you know, not a season ender. Mm-hmm. And but again, in a different sense, we're looking at a different quarterback situation, a quarterback up in the air situation, which I don't know if after the press conference the week of Oklahoma last year, if we knew that. I think that was
I think it was a developing story. I think it was a rumor that we had that,
yep,
you know, nobody really knew. I mean, people knew, but
yeah,
I think we pretty well knew that was happening, but we knew that nothing was ever official about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I mean, this is just, it's the same story, just a different day. You know, quarterback questions at Iowa State.
Yep.
What's new?
Yeah.
I think they know how to handle it. I know they have a lot of confidence in Zeb. And even though Kyle's been a great leader for you, been a great story, I think that it's been said for a while that if this offense was ever really truly going to max out, that Kyle probably couldn't be the quarterback. That's probably not the best way to put it. His physical limitations were going to keep them from being able to, like, truly max out as an offense. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, we've never really seen him with what we know as at full strength, with that being said. But, I mean, just outside of, you know, everyone talked about Zeb's arm. When you talk about Kyle, this is cool, you know, cool, composed personality, you know, the consummate game manager, which, hey, that can lead to very productive games, as it did in their comeback at Oklahoma in his first start and a few others. But Zeb showed what he could do, too. I mean, in a hard-fought win against the Baylor Bears and, you know, really tough, kind of one of those gut punch losses to Oklahoma State in a shootout as well. So in a starting role. So the good thing is those guys have been really supportive of each other. You know, Zeb said they didn't know until they walked in the meeting room on Tuesday that it was not going to be Jacob Park last season. Mm-hmm. And they just had vowed, and they'd even done it before that they were going to support one another and build each other up. So they're going to be in a position to, you know, whoever's in the position to take the reins, they're going to be as well prepped as possible. Kyle certainly was last season. And I'm sure he's doing the same to help Zeb in the event that that he can't go on Saturday against yet another great Oklahoma team.
Yeah, and then I think the other thing, for me at least, is you think about the offensive line. And, you know, they did all the shuffling there last week, which Jeff and I talked about a lot on the Football and Random Things podcast on Monday. If you want to check that out, I thought that it was pretty good. I think Jeff is much more comfortable in the podcast setting than the video setting, but that's beside the point. We talked about that a lot, and I think it's interesting to hear what Coach Campbell said about specifically about Colin Newell and getting him back into the rotation. I would expect to see him on the field on Saturday. I don't know whether that will be at center or where that will be, but I mean, I still believe that if he proved for, you know, 5 months, yeah, that he was one of their five best, then that's a guy that should be out there on the football field. And I would expect to see him more than we did against Iowa.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it seemed like they chose to do, even Al Campbell explained the changes from the depth chart to who started at Iowa was that experience angle. You know, that Sean Foster had starting experience at out at tackle. Julian Good-Jones obviously played very well at center. And they kind of went with the comfortability factor versus running a new guy out on that stage. Now, it's going to be a big stage early season for the Cyclones no matter what. I mean, say the Akron game, big game nonetheless, but not in terms of the opponent, the name opponent. So, yeah, I'd agree. He get out there, again, not knowing in what capacity, but this, you know, I had asked Coach Campbell about that today. He had even flat out said that how O-line's going to shake out is going to go into the season. And clearly it has, not the way I think we expected to see the change from coming out of fall camp, spring, and what essentially became week one in terms of a game against Iowa. But, yeah, very much a work in progress there. I mean, you know, Campbell made a point to say the interior, particularly the guards, played well on Saturday and kind of left it at that. Obviously, they got to be a lot better against an Oklahoma front. They'll mix it up, three-man, four-man, just like the Cyclones, but elite levels at every athletes at every spot for Oklahoma, linebackers who are inexperienced growing into their roles, I think, great secondary. It's going to be a massive test, and we'll see if they can take another step, particularly on the outside on that O-line.
What else is there of note, you think, from the press conference?
Well, let's see. Outside of those mentions, I think it was worth mentioning. Everyone saw it on the field, but Jaquan Bailey's bookend continues to impress, and how dynamic he was at one of the end spots was huge. And then Matt Leo, I mean, made a couple of nice plays when they rotated him in, rotated Spencer Benton in. I think those are positive developments. You're seeing the depth grow on that D-line, which is necessary and feeds that productivity there. Need to see it grow on the O-line. I mean, get those five guys solidified and then see a bit more of a rotation come into place.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's hard to look at anything on that defense and be like, yeah, those guys didn't play very well.
Yep.
I mean, the defense was awesome. One of the plays that really stuck out to me when I was rewatching the game, it was at some point in the first quarter. There was a play where they tried to run one of their stretch, or it might have even been like a draw or something. I can't remember exactly. But Jaquan gave the right tackle like a quick little swim move, and the dude didn't even touch him. And he went straight past him to make a tackle for loss. And I was like, dang, okay, that's the kind of move I don't think we see from him a year ago, especially against the run.
Exactly, and they were so good against the run. I mean, yeah, Iowa's out there top back, but they got enough good backs that guys are capable of.
I was going to ask you this. Jeff and I were talking yesterday. When do you think the last time that Iowa State, what'd they average per carry?
What did Iowa average?
I mean, it was like less than 3 yards.
Yeah, it was less than 3 yards. And a couple of those plays were well blocked. I remember Enny had one where he spun off his guy. I think they ended up getting 3 or 4 yards, but it was blocked where it looked like it was going to be minimum 10-yard gain and then a little wiggle. Who knows what that turns into.
But when's the last time you think they held them that low?
It's been a long time. I think one time in the last 10 years as it's been really competitive, save a couple. They might have shockingly held them down pretty low, but not like that. Not when Iowa kind of had the flow that they wanted. You know, they were going to stick with that, which is what they do. I mean, we know their MO, and you know, just really wouldn't allow them to get a big play out of the running game. Really anywhere, but without one big to the wide receiver, bottled up the tight ends. The defense proved that if the offense can get rolling, can get in any kind of a rhythm, they're going to have a shot against anybody this season. And we don't know how good Iowa is, but they looked pretty good on Saturday. And, you know, that's immaterial at this point. We know how good the Iowa State defense looked and how much progress the offense has to make, particularly on the line. And maybe we better see some of that on Saturday. And then who knows? You can write this ship, and we know all about the schedule. And as long as they stick to the plan and stay confident, a lot of good days could be ahead.
We'll talk more about Iowa State's upcoming matchup with number 5 Oklahoma when we come back. You're listening to the CF Rundown presented by Heartland Flags on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it's Williams here. On the podcast, on our radio shows, we talk a lot about point spreads, you know, all that stuff. To be honest, I'm not a big bettor, but I'm really just fascinated by that industry. And I want to recommend a service to you guys today if you're interested in that sort of thing. MyBookie.ag is the website. If you join right now, and if you give them our promo code, they will match your deposit dollar for dollar. This is a really good deal. Our promo code is 2427. Again, that promo code is 2427. They have live in-game, live betting. They're in the business for you fantasy guys out there. You can bet over-under on fantasy points for players. There's all sorts of really cool things. MyBookie.ag. Again, that promo code is 2427. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie.ag. Hey guys, it's Chris Williams. We're in the heart of football season now, and I got to tell you, I feel a lot better than I did a year ago, and I owe a lot of that to Dr. Kruger at the Ames Eye Clinic. Also, their Des Moines location is, they're called Des Moines Eye Care in Des Moines. Same guys, really great eye doctors. I never thought that I had eye problems. I don't really have problems seeing or anything like that, but I was suffering from chronic headaches. I mean, it was nonstop. I always had a headache. And I think a lot of it was because I stared at a screen all day. Dr. Kruger took a look at my eyes, took him about a half hour, and he knew exactly what was wrong. Prescribed me some glasses that now I use while I'm on my computer, while I'm working for you guys at Cyclone Fanatic all day. And man, has it made a difference. I'm even sleeping better. I challenge you, if you have a problem like this, any sort of eye problem, to contact our friends at Des Moines Eye Care and the Ames Eye Clinic. You can check out DesMoinesEyeCare.com. or AmesEyeClinic.com. I would encourage you to do this and tell them that we sent you. Tell them thank you for supporting what we're doing here at Cyclone Fanatic.
Well, I meant welcome back. I wasn't saying welcome to another edition of the podcast. Welcome back, though, to the CF Rundown. We're not starting over.
Absolutely.
All right. Presented by Heartland Flags. I need to mention that as well. Iowa State and Oklahoma on Saturday. Obviously, we all know what happened last year. A lot of rave reviews for Kyler Murray, and rightfully so, considering Oklahoma's offense has looked as good or better than it did a year ago with the Heisman Trophy winner quarterback.
Yeah, and the guy comes in, spurns a lucrative baseball.
Well, kind of spurns it. Well, he's still got his money.
Well, and also he's still got great potential there if he just plays college. But, you know, the options are on the table for him.
Well, he's going next year. He signed the contract.
Oh, okay. My bad then. Yeah. But what interesting story in and of itself that you don't, you know, it's taking a risk. It's taking a risk. But he loves playing the game. As Campbell said today.
How is that legal?
I don't know.
Like in the NCAA?
I mean, especially, given, well, there's all many, how is that legal and how is it illegal?
Right.
In terms of, not necessarily the law, but in terms of what the NCAA allows. But that's, can make every throw.
Because I know he got a huge signing bonus. So that's, I know,
yeah,
I'm wondering
it's
about
odd.
That.
There must be some type of exception to that type of situation. But you know, he's the complete package as a football player. And, I was asking Greg Eisworth about him, you know, given his small sample size as a college quarterback, you know, there's a lot of hype about him, but there's also what he's shown is impressive. And he's like, well, he lives up to the hype. He's watched a lot of film already on him. And he said he's as good a pocket. He's an elite pocket passer as well as the highly hyped dual threat guy. So, I mean, he's bringing everything. Now, obviously, Oklahoma without their top tailback, which is, you know, just a sad deal. Ronnie Anderson out. But you know they've got four other guys. And, you know, Trey Sermon had his moments, and he's an elite back. At least coming out of high school, he was. Yeah. So, I mean, they're going to have...
They've got a true freshman that's pretty good, too.
Yeah, I mean, so they've got guys there. But, yeah, Murray is you know, he immediately became a Heisman candidate once he joined the Sooners, and he's done nothing but, as were said, to live up to that hype. And, you know, we'll see. It's going to be a great chess match here because Iowa State played really fast against Iowa, but in a completely different situation where Iowa's not going to stretch the field on you much, either horizontally or right. Vertically. Oklahoma's going to try to do that all the time, obviously in classic Big 12 mode. So, great to see how those linebackers will perform and the D-line holding its own and getting into the back. It's really going to be interesting to see how they measure up to this type of offensive challenge mm-hmm. versus just a good, solid power Iowa team.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you could borderline be a Heisman candidate if you had Hollywood Brown and CeeDee Lamb and all those guys to throw the football to.
I can do some quick reads.
I was going to say, I know you can sling it around a little bit. Yep. Throw the deep post.
Yep. I might get a rotator cuff immediately, being the old man, but I could sling at least one of them out there.
Yeah. I think the matchup between Iowa State's offense and Oklahoma's defense is interesting. Their defense has been good in these first two games. I don't know what FAU did last week, but they looked awful in week one.
Yeah, they won. They won pretty easily, I think.
Did they?
Yeah. I'm not sure who they played either.
No.
Yeah.
And then UCLA, like, that's – I mean –
That's a big rebuild.
Right, that's a big rebuild with a very different offensive system that Chip Kelly is trying to install there. So I don't know what kind of read to get on the Oklahoma defense right now. I believe that – Iowa State's offense will perform better in week two. Mm-hmm. As much as anything based on that offensive line, just getting an opportunity to get some kinks out and stuff like that and get some stuff on film to learn a little bit. And I think that's kind of what Bryce Meeker was talking about today. But I also just think that it's just a different kind of defense. You know, they're not going to put pressure on Iowa State in the same kind of ways,
yeah.
I don't think. And
yeah.
It might have some more openings for guys like David and Hakeem and Deshante, Tariq Milton, and et cetera, to make some big plays.
No doubt. And they take a lot more risks. I mean, again, in more of a Big 12 mode, you know, Shane Burnham used to say that you don't want to sell out for quarterback sacks, and I don't know if that was, you know, it worked for Oklahoma, but UCLA still burned him a couple times. I mean, they put up three touchdowns? Can't remember exactly what it was, but they scored early. I mean, so look, we know that they're elite talents, but we also know that you can get to them. I mean, Iowa's defense was just as sound as you'd expect an Iowa defense to be, and with as good a DNs as you're probably going to face all year, even though Oklahoma's got some hot studs in there. I think they would work out some of the kinks. Meeker did, and it makes sense, even though nobody wanted to say it. If you don't have that week of game film to build off of, you can only build off of, you know, the learning curve in practice mm-hmm. so much. It's just not the same. It's not the same speed. It's not the same way you can go ahead and be repetitive going through the things that you need to work on. I think that'll definitely be improved. Now, will it be improved enough is the other thing, you know, because the defense will be strained. Even as great as it was last season, it only gave up a touchdown after halftime, but really on its heels early in Norman last season. A lot of adjustments going to be made. It's going to be a heck of a chess match because I put up John Haycock's mind as a defensive coordinator against anyone's. And just going to be really interesting to see how they respond. You know, the big deal for Campbell, and he mentioned it today last season, was how do they respond from breaking through with a win against Oklahoma, a team they've only beaten twice in Ames ever, and they've beaten, what, three, four times in Norman. You know, they hadn't won in 20-plus years. I can't remember what the whole deal was. But they responded by staying on task and playing good football. And that's kind of what you got to look at. What's the response to very lackluster performance offensively against Iowa?
Yeah.
As you come in against this on this huge stage, I mean, an ABC game and a chance to I can't imagine of those handful of wins they've beaten. They might have beaten Oklahoma back-to-back once. I'm trying to remember from the game notes.
But yeah, I think there's one time.
Yeah.
It's like in the 50s.
I mean, again, another chance for a monumental thing, and I think the defense is good enough, as stated before, that they give them a chance in these games. If you can isolate some guys and get better big play options, which requires David Montgomery not getting hit in the backfield every time he gets the ball, you know, there's a real shot that this could be a special game as well. But I think the line's set right, 17.5 initially, right? So, I mean, you know, I'm just in agreement with you that we're going to see a better offense. Just how much better is going to be the key factor.
All right, we'll have plenty more for you guys here this week at CycloneFanatic.com. Thanks again to Heartland Flags for being the presenting sponsor of the CF Rundown. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, Jared.
Talk to you again soon. Peace, guys.